Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Doug Witter with a message called Walking with God.
With everything, there is a pattern. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Exodus 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I thought it was a marvelous thing. It thrills me every time I read it. And Brother Berg read it from Numbers last night. That God says there's three ways that I speak to men. By vision and by dream. But of my servant Moses, mouth to mouth. Isn't that a wonderful relationship? Mouth to mouth. Just like I'm talking to you now, God spoke to this humble servant. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it, notice please, willingly with his heart. I don't think he's speaking, well, he isn't here speaking of money. He is speaking of those things that were required in the construction of this house in which God's presence was to live. He says, let every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Not by sense of duty. Tithing is a wonderful thing and is part of the order of God. And every believer should practice it. But that free will offering, that offering that comes spontaneous from your heart. Not by a decree, not by a letter, not by a law, but something that the Spirit of God stirs up within a man's heart and life, that he gives it willingly from his heart. God is requiring in the building of this spiritual house this morning an offering that comes, praise God, from the willingness of your heart and mind. My willingness to submit, my willingness to yield, my willingness to dedicate. I do not believe that God is going to force it on any man. It will come from the willingness of your heart and the willingness of mine. Praise his name. And this offering, this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and purple and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod, and for the breastplate. All these things were the materials that were needed to build this tabernacle unto God. He needs these same commodities today in a spiritual sense. But your life is that precious stone. Oh, hallelujah. Your life is that deity of God. Your life is that redemptive power of God. And he takes all this culmination of things and he puts them together to form a habitation wherein he may live and move and have his being here upon the earth. Oh, praise his name. And he says, let them I like that. He doesn't say, bring all these things and I will build a house. But he says, bring them and let them build a house. We have a responsibility, dear saint of God, this morning for the building of this spiritual house on the earth. Each one of us. I have no greater responsibility this morning than you have. The ministry that God has entrusted to you is every bit as important than the ministry that God has entrusted to me. I can't get along without you, and you can't get along without me. We together, oh hallelujah, shall build this house. Oh, bless God. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. It has always been God's desire that he may dwell in the midst of his people. It hasn't changed. It is still the same this morning. That is why, praise God, you can find the nearness of his presence breathing upon your life even as you sit there this morning, because he has condescended to come and dwell with men of low estate such as you and I. He has condescended to come and make his tabernacle in your heart and mine. Long before we ever got here, though may we never take it for granted, I knew his presence would be here because you are here. I can't go into it this morning, but there's something about that divine presence of the God that created the heavens and the earth and stretched them out and breathed into you and I of the breath of life that words could never convey nor express to the human mind. That lowly Galilean this morning, he doesn't just walk up and down these aisles in a seamless robe, wonderful and all as it was. He has come to make his habitation within the confines of a human heart such as yours. Hallelujah. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now listen. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. I never read this passage of Scripture that I don't realize what a tremendous thing it was that God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could lay out in minute detail every last thing concerning this tabernacle. He told them how high to make the fence posts. He told them to take acacia wood or shittim wood and overlay it with silver and set it in sockets of brass. He told them what kind of material to use for the gate. He told them what kind of needlework should be in it, the colors to use. He told them everything about it in minute detail. But the one thing he said, be sure that you follow the instructions. And I say to you this morning, as we build this spiritual house, let us be sure that we build it according to the instructions. What is a sanctuary? It's a dwelling place wherein God lives and moves and has his being. Oh, God, help this little mind of mine to be able to grasp that this morning. Though the Word of God says he fills a whole wide universe with himself, God, the creator of all things, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, has come to dwell in such mortals as you and I. Just think of it. Solomon's temple was really something. The gold he used would make any Scotchman envious. He lavished it with gold. But this spiritual house is lavished with gold in a different sense, in his deity. Hallelujah. Be sure that you, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. I have been thinking a great deal along this line of late. And sometimes it is easy for us to slip away from the pattern, unintentionally. But I believe that at this particular time, God is bringing to mind once again what he has said. Hallelujah. Build according to the pattern. In the 40th verse of the same chapter, it says, "And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee on the mount." If you can take a few moments to reflect back, especially some of you, how do I say this to be diplomatic? Some of you, older people, not old people, older people, that can think back at least 40 years. God was very gracious in giving us a pattern. You think of that. Sometimes people may wonder why we are so touchy on some things. It's because God has given us a pattern. And when God says do this, he didn't mean to do that, he meant to do this. I have said this before, but I am sure when they were making that inner sanctuary, that even Moses may have thought God forgot something. In the holy place there was the 7 golden candlesticks to give light. But in the Holy of Holies there was no artificial light. It was to be illuminated by the Shekinah glory, which means I will meet with thee. Nothing artificial. Only the Ark of the Covenant, those golden cherubims, the deity of God in all of its majesty, and between it, the very presence of Jehovah. Oh, think of it. I'll tell you, there was no rock and roll music. There was no hilarity on that day of atonement when that high priest went into that inner court, that inner sanctuary. He entered in there not without blood to ask forgiveness first for his own sins and then for the sins of all of Israel. I dare say there was such a hush and a holy glow that came over that 2.5 million people on that day that they stood in solemnness as he made petition for their sins. I stand and you stand this morning in that same glorious hall, in that inner court where God's presence abides, that he might cleanse us and make us according to the pattern. Bless his name. Go over to the 26th chapter, please, and the 30th verse. It says, hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall you make it. Numbers, the 8th chapter, and the 4th verse. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the 7 lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold. Under the shaft thereof, under the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. If they had have cut corners a little bit and said, you know, it's going to be pretty expensive to have those, somebody make those flowers on that shaft, it would have never received God's blessing. God said, put flowers on the shaft. That's exactly what he meant. Listen to what it says in the last book of Exodus, the 40th chapter. In verse 16 it says, and thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Oh, may we be able to say that, saints of God. As God has commanded us, so did we. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above it, upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering of the tabernacle, the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward, without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil, and he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of the burnt offering by the door, and the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water therein to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat when they went into the tent of the congregation. And when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round and about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses finished the work. Then, hallelujah, after everything was done according as the Lord had commanded Moses, after Moses had finished the work, then, oh, hallelujah, then, a cloud covered the tent. Oh, glory to God of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When Moses had finished the work that God had given him according to a pattern. Oh, methinks, when this work of building this spiritual edifice has come to that finale, and that cloud, oh, glory to God, amen. And that cloud rests upon it, the glory of the Lord will fill the temple with himself. Oh, thank you, Lord. We have begun to feel a little here and a little there. But think of the time when his glory shall come in to remain, never to leave again. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Their lesson in submission wasn't over yet. God said, told them, when that cloud moves, you move. When that cloud stops, you stop. Sometimes people say, we're going too slow. We can only move according to the cloud. Can you see that? Can you believe that? If that cloud stands still, then we must stand still. But the moment it moves, pack up. Get ready to move. It's time to go. Hallelujah. First Chronicles, the 28th chapter. I have read this in your hearing, I suppose, maybe many times. I don't know. If I have, don't forgive me, because I'm going to read it again. 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, oh, hallelujah, know thou the God of thy father. Isn't that something? May our generation be able to say it of us, know God according to your father. and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. God knows all those things. Dreamers. He knows them. Listen, if thou seek Him, He shall be found of thee. But you gotta seek Him. You gotta look for Him. You just can't sit there and say, well, God wants to bless me, He knows where I am. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He shall cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and go home and pray about it. No, He says, do it. Do it. Do it. Do you really believe that God has begun to build this spiritual house? I believe it this morning with all that is within me. It may not stand as yet in all of its grandeur and all of its spiritual beauty, but the work hath begun, and faithful is He who hath begun a good work in you, who will finish it. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch. Now here's another wonderful thing that God by the Holy Ghost gave to David, this pattern for the temple. And he could take that plan, that pattern, that description, and give it to his son Solomon. And he gave him the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. Listen, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Not by some dream, not by some idea that pops into a man's head, he's going to build some kind of a kingdom. But it says the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. Amen. Let me just interject this. I know that men may say they've received a lot of things by the Spirit. They have built buildings of every size and description. They have made them out of glass. They have furnished them like the Garden of Eden. They have done all manner of things. But nowhere can I find the pattern thereof. The pattern is here. You can find it. If you want to take time to seek it out, it's all there. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Every dimension is there. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. I'm sure he needed encouragement. And I can tell you, we can use all the encouragement we can get. Don't find fault, people. Encourage one another to press on. Hallelujah. Because the beginning of the erection of this spiritual house has begun. It's begun. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. What a promise. Time after time have I heard right in this tabernacle and in your local church, oh, may God help us to accept the simplicity of prophecy. When God has said, I am with thee, I will go before thee, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and I am thy God. He's told us time and time and time and time again. I can assure you this morning that he will not forsake thee. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship. He even supplied the workers. Every willing, skillful man. Willing, willing, willing. Now you know right well, if God was to give to me the building of this tabernacle or temple all by my little lonesome, there isn't one of you here would go in it, much less the Lord's presence. But God supplied him with every skillful man that he needed, those workers of gold and in silver, those carpenters, those that could do this and those that could do that, he supplied them. I may say it in a way you'll maybe grasp it a little closer. He had embodied in there every ministry that was necessary to the bringing to completion of this spiritual house. When I look over you this morning, I am confident in my heart that God once again has supplied us with every spiritual talent that is needed to bring to fruition the construction of this holy temple under the Lord. Every willing, skillful man for any manner of service, also the princess and all the people, will be holy at thy commandment. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Standing ready. Are you standing ready this morning to act upon the commandment of the Lord? Or you may say, those elders, they're always wanting something. Yes, they are. But I hope you're standing ready that when they call, you can answer. When they need that support of your prayer, that you're standing ready. Or maybe there's someone in the hospital that they are just having a hard time to get there. But here God has said that you would have a ministry of showing mercy. I hope you're standing ready. Someone needs a visit. Someone needs a call. People will be holy at thy commandment. Standing ready to whatever God requires of us. And let me, look at me, please. He's going to require that kind of dedication from every last one of us. 3 o'clock in the morning, according to the physical, is no time to pray. And you might just roll over and say, Lord, can't it wait till morning? I know that feeling. How you snuggle in under those blankets. Man, that feels good. Who wants to get out into a cold room at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray of all things? I must be standing ready. Oh, but Brother Witter, if you only knew how busy I am. I must be standing ready. I could go on that one all day. Turn over to Acts, please. 44. Acts 7:44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. If there wasn't another scripture verse in the whole of the Bible, there is sufficient there for us to realize that this building is not the church, is not the tabernacle, is not the temple. It's a facility which houses or accommodates the church, of which you and I are a part. But men will build them bigger and bigger. They're getting like grocery stores, bigger and bigger and bigger. Missing the mark completely. Oh, may God, I say this morning, may God anoint all of our eyes afresh that we can get a glimpse of this New Testament tabernacle and church of the living God such as we've never seen it before. As Brother Holt has often said, it is so unpretentious. Men can walk by it and not even know it is there. But strange as it may seem, as troubles come and troubles will, they shall find their way to the temple of the Most High God. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? Oh, hallelujah. To think that the Spirit of God has moved upon the face of the waters. He has brought from the north and from the south, even unto the east and the west, from the four corners of the earth, have they gathered this ecclesia of God and breathed upon them of the breath of life that they may begin the construction of this spiritual house on earth. And think what it is going to be as we come into that perfection which God has ordained for it. I'll never make it on my own, never this side of heaven, but by God's grace, you shall enter in. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Oh, blessed be God. Now of all things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary. And notice this, please. And of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. The true tabernacle. All of those, the tabernacle in the wilderness, and all those temples that were between it, and the life of Christ, were just shadows of that which was to come. Amen. And I say it with absolute due respect this morning, but even in our Lord, though he became and is this morning yet that abiding place, that temple was to be destroyed. But one thing different, it rose again.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And Jesus came teaching and he said, this temple will be destroyed. There won't be one stone left upon another. But he said, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And you know they laughed at him. How can you raise up it up in 3 days when it took 40 years to build? Oh, they're still saying it. Someone handed someone a Sharon Star recently. When they saw it, they said, oh, are they still around? I think so. But the Lord is pitching a tent.
Hallelujah.
Hasn't got a very high steeple. And though he owns all the old pews on the face of God's earth, you're very fortunate you're among the few sitting on that is if that's what they are. You don't see much that catches the eye. But there it is, quietly rising, rising, rising. He is pitching a tent, and thanks be to God, not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who served under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. Hallelujah. There's another part of this subject I would have liked to have got into, but I won't take time to this morning. But I will say this in the few minutes that I have. If you really believe this morning that we stand where we stand, and the Spirit of God is beginning to touch things in your life and mine, God help us that we may be willing to submit. It grieves me deeply when I hear yet of married couples that aren't getting along. That should never be named among us. I asked myself the question the other day, now may I clarify, not that we're not getting along. I told my wife we would always get along as long as I got my own way. It's worked terrific. Now I forgot what I was going to say. And my wife is saying it serves you right. I might see, after living all that time with the same woman, you even know what she's thinking way down there. Forgive my foolishness. But I asked myself the question the other day, what is wrong? And you know the thought that came to me, maybe I've got this on the brain right now, but forgive me if I have. I think we should look at ourselves as families and see if we're building according to the pattern. You know what the early teaching was? It was a wonderful sight to see Mom and Dad and all the 10 kids come in together and sit together. You could almost hear the silence. Back then, our precious time wasn't taken up so much with television. And now, video. And now, computers. And now, I don't know what else. I'm not saying there's anything big sin about it, but it does rob us of our time. But I think there's a lot of things we should take a good hard look at. Young people, God bless you. I am sure I say this of all of the brethren. We believe this sincerely. You're the cream of the crop. But we don't want you to be spoiled by a lot of the foolishness of the present age. You got to be very careful about what you buy on a video. I happened to turn the TV on somewhere in my travels the other day, and it was the most disgusting sight I've ever seen on a television screen. And I shut them off. And I will say it, and with, I hope, no embarrassment. But when you see the sex act literally performed in living color in your living room, it's time we did something about it. Oh, but brother, where? This is 1986. It sure is. And I fear to think what 87 is going to be like if 86 is like this. What am I saying? I'm not telling you what to watch or what not to watch on television. You have got to become mature enough to know that. I am not setting a lot of do's and don'ts. You've got to become mature enough to know what is right and what is wrong. And if you don't, then go to your parents or your elders. They'll help you. Now, this idea that older people don't understand is not the truth. And I want you to know that. We do understand. They do understand. Because I go to them for help. Experience, I'm coming back to you. Experience is the best teacher you can ever have. But there's a lot of things that are creeping in on us. Like the camel in the tent. First his head. Then his bumps. Then his tail. He's in and you're out. It sneaks in on you. They even make comedy now so they can kind of get the message across to you. They don't know what comedy is anymore. You say, well, what's all this got to do with the kingdom? It's got everything to do with the kingdom. Because in the pattern, I can't see any trace that I can give my life over to lasciviousness or to worldliness or anything that would rob me of the joy of His divine presence. Walking with God is one of the most wonderful experiences a young man or woman or an older man and woman can ever have. It's not what you say, people. It's what you are. And what you are has an effect on what you do and where you go. There's nothing more wonderful, as you know, is to walk in the garden with Him. He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Why? Because He walks with us.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.